Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hollywood Improv Lab. Make some noise. You guys are in the right place for comedy. Without further ado, please welcome the host and the creator of Story Smash, the storytelling game show, Christine Blackburn!
The storytelling game show. My name is Christine Blackburn, and we have an amazing show for you guys tonight. We're going to get started right away and reveal the Wheel of Stories. There are 12 permanent topics on the wheel, and there's one additional space that says free. If the contestant spins the wheel and lands on free, then they can choose any topic on the wheel. And there's also three spaces that say audience. And if the contestant lands on audience, and they always do, well, then you guys can shout out your storytelling suggestions, and our expert judges will choose one of them for the contestant's topic, all right? All right, you guys, I'm super happy you're here. Speaking of expert judges, let's bring them up right now. Our first expert judge is an actor, a comedian, and a travel and foodie expert. As an actor, he's appeared on Seinfeld, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Tracy Takes On, and The Ben Stiller Show. And he's also won 3 Emmys for Chicago's Windy City Live. And here's my very favorite thing about this guy. He hosted Fox's hit dating show, Studs, for 580 episodes. Ladies and gentlemen, Mark DiCarlo! The next judge coming to the stage is best known as Beverly Goldberg on The Goldbergs, Deputy Clementine Johnson on Reno 911, Liz the Crazy Cat Lady on Rules of Engagement, Lydia Mayhew on Love Spring International, and Rita in Bridesmaids. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the hilarious and talented Wendy McClendon Cummings! All right, you guys, our final judge tonight is an Emmy Award-winning writer and executive producer of ABC's Modern Family, which is in its final season. He also has a book out right now I hold in my left hand. It's called He Started It, and it chronicles his Twitter war with President Donald Trump. He's won 5 Emmy Awards, and he's never going to let us forget it. Please welcome Danny Zucker! No dancing. All right, you guys.
Love this table.
This table is brand new. Every month we get better and better, and now you're at a table.
Yeah.
I was thinking about bringing a gavel on. Danny, would you like that?
A gavel?
Yeah.
No, I would abuse. I would nervously. It would be a month. It would, no.
Okay.
Long, I guess the answer is no. Guys, you're in for a great show. That's the kind of quick-witted humor you'll just to expect all throughout the hour.
All 3 of you guys have played the game before, so you know exactly what you're doing. But just to reiterate to our audience, we're going to play 3 rounds of Story Smash tonight. The first round, the contestants are coming up to tell a true 1-minute story. The second round, it's double the fun. They'll tell a true 2-minute story. And then 2 contestants will go on for the 3rd round to tell a true 3-minute story. That's how it goes. Yes, and
Story Smash pens.
That's right. There's swag that we've actually got swag now. So things are really looking up.
Yeah.
I think so. We've also got somebody from the audience is going to play tonight. And when we draw that name, then the audience member will come up. And we'll be especially nice to them. You know what I mean, you guys?
Will we?
Yeah, we will.
We will.
Will we?
Because
we'll
it's
be
not,
very supportive.
That's yes. Right. It's not easy. It's not easy.
No.
No, I could do it. But...
Danny, you just got back from Paris.
Oui. That's all I learned.
Okay, yeah. Great. Wendy, have you been anywhere?
I've never been to Paris.
Okay.
I've been to Lake Paris.
Yeah.
That's a party.
Mark DiCarlo, you've been all
I have been
over.
To Paris.
Yeah.
I actually met the nice French person.
Oh.
The one. I met him.
Well, somebody had to meet him.
Yeah.
All right, you guys, I hold the first contestant's name in my hand. And remember, you guys, you are responsible for your own clock. It's right there. Take a look. You don't want to go over the time limit, because if you do, you're going to hear this. That is your indication that your story is over. We're going to go directly to the judges. All right, you guys, right now, coming to the stage for a true 1-minute story. I love this person. She is amazing. She's the co-host of the podcast Two Girls on a Bench Podcast. It's a show about writing, procrastination, and friendship. She's also a writer and a director, and she's directed everything from children's theater to performance art. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Trisha Marsack. Tell her what to do. And we're off.
Trisha's got props.
All right. Vacation.
Vacation.
All right.
We were just talking about that. How weird
know,
is that?
I just got it from Paris. It was so
what
lovely.
She has to say.
So, okay, vacation. So one time I went traveling with my best friend to Paris and to Spain, and we got stuck in Cerbère between the two because there was a train strike. And we got stuck in the train station for, I don't know, 10 hours with a very drunk man who would scream at us like all these, I have to say swear words. I have no idea what he was saying. It was in French. But, and then he would be like, Belle femme, and he would like start like looking at us. And then he'd like go pee in the corner and come back and do it all again. In the meantime, we met this guy named Jason who had bread and chocolates. We had chocolate sandwiches, as you do when you have a backpack in the 90s and you have no internet, no phone, and you're stuck in Cerbère. And we kept going up to the window. We could see someone behind the window, but they kept closing the shade, and they wouldn't tell us anything about where we could go and what would happen. Well, we ended up going to Sweden to get to Rome, and then when we were in Rome, we met up with Jason again, and he had more bread and chocolate, and he fed us, and it was great.
Trisha Marsack.
Wow.
What a way to kick off the game.
Holy cow.
Danny Zucker.
I mean, it was like a Rick Steves kind of story in a way. It was just amazing. I just got back from there. I'm going to talk about that all night long because it was so cool.
Pee in any good corners?
Yeah. Here's the thing. So I was walking. I did not know the way out of the Louvre. It was like it's a maze. So I'm trying to get out of the Louvre, and I'm like, oh, here are the like. I go up to a woman. And I'm like, can you tell me, can you get me out of this? And, you know, she just looked at me like that. And a man, an American, looked at me like that. And then I ran into my friend, and he's like, Danny, your nose is bleeding. So I had sneezed really hard, and I had a nosebleed, and they were all just terrified of me. So
oh,
they
God.
Weren't being rude. So
you're such
fucking
a dirty American.
I was exactly. Ugly American.
Wendy McLennan Covey.
There was a man saying belle femme, which means beautiful woman,
right.
Correct? And caressing your face with his dirty hands.
To. Trying to.
Trying to.
Yeah.
Pishing in the corner, and
yes.
There was no romance in this story.
None. Well, we did meet up with Jason later, and there was chocolate.
Okay.
So,
I mean. And, which spoke to me, because bread and chocolate are two of my favorites, and it's okay to eat them during a train strike.
Absolutely.
Eat them together.
100%.
So this is a good story to me.
Yeah.
Mark DiCarlo.
As you said earlier, I am a travel expert, and what you folks fail to understand is that in France, pissing in the corner is a form of foreplay. It's like the dance the birds do.
Oh, wow.
But with piss in France.
I owe a woman an apology then, because I really just had to pee.
Yeah, no. It's
Trisha Marsack, let her hear it, you guys. All right. Look at that. That's how we play the game.
Fuck yeah.
We're off to a great start. All right, you guys. This next guy coming to this stage, he is from my hometown of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. But that's not why he's on the show. This guy's been doing stand-up for over 30 years. You've seen him on Comedy Central, Showtime, The Late Late Show. He was also the host of the syndicated comedy game show Street Smarts. Yeah, love that show. And next year, you're going to see him on season 2 of the Shudder hit Creepshow. Please welcome my buddy, Frank Nicotero.
Yay!
Yeah. Tell him what to do.
Thank you. Wait, yes. Can I say hi to the judges real quick? I just want to say, Wendy, you read her entire resume almost, but you forgot to mention Concierge Marie from The Office. Anyone? Concierge Marie? Yeah. I just met Concierge. And Mark DiCarlo, we heard his whole fucking resume. Okay, here we go.
That's God. That's God shitting on you.
One sip of beer. Right. All right, here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
Check your notes, Frank.
No cheating. All right, anything. There's one I don't want. Good, it's gone by that, which is good. Oh, no. Oh, no, 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 no. Ah, shoot.
Ladies and and gentlemen, this is the exciting part
it's
of the game.
Audience.
So you guys have an opportunity to shout out your favorite story topic, and one of you guys can choose one of these topics. So let's hear from this side of the room. What do you want to hear?
Holidays.
Plagiarism. What?
Your mom.
Your mom.
Well, my mom or your mom?
What else?
Hospital.
Sex hospitals.
Wait, sex hospitals?
I liked plagiarism.
First kiss?
Oh, no.
Do Bets. First kiss in a sex hospital.
Bets, breaking the law.
I need 2 minutes for that. No.
Bets, breaking the law.
Which one are we going with?
I heard plagiarism. And your mom.
Hospitals,
your mom is
the
always
law.
Good.
Okay, your mom.
Let's go
for
with
your mom.
All right,
mom.
1 minute.
There
oh,
you go.
Jesus. Right. Your mom. All right. My mom just came to visit me recently, and when moms come to Hollywood, I think you guys know, they always want to meet someone famous, they want to meet celebrities, right? So we had to go to Beverly Hills, we drive around Beverly Hills. You guys all know you never see celebs in Beverly Hills. So we go back to my house, and we go to the Aroma Cafe by my house, and there's J.K. Simons, right? Big star. I'm like, Mom, J.K. Simons, he was in Spider-Man? She's like, I don't know who that is. I'm like, Mom, he won an Oscar for this movie where he did this, you know, Whiplash, because I don't know who that is. And I'm like, he does the Farmers commercial? She's like, oh my God, I love him. Yeah, yeah. Oscar to Farmers. And then we go to Bed Bath & Beyond. All right, this is a true story. Susan Sarandon is in Bed Bath & Beyond. No kidding. So my mom goes up to her. She's like, oh my God, Miss Sarandon, I'm a huge fan. She's in the pillow section getting a duvet cover. My mom says, I love you so much. And Susan Sarandon's like, thank you very much. And I'm like, Mom, leave her alone. And then Susan Sarandon stares at me because now I'm supposed to say something. And I just look at her at Bed Bath & Beyond and go, would you like a 20% off coupon to Bed Bath & Beyond? I always bring extra. She's like, I'm good.
Frank Nicotero.
1 minute.
There you
one
go.
1 minute.
Perfect time. 1 minute. Oof. Lot of information. Mark DiCarlo.
I love any story that has anything to do with Bed Bath & Beyond. So that's a winner.
Exactly.
That's a winner for me. Does anyone ever shop without that fucking coupon?
And I always have extras, and I always like give them away to people, and I feel like there should be like a charity.
You're like Jesus at the wedding.
I am.
Yeah.
I am. Thank you. And I thank you for saying you love stories about Bed Bath & Beyond. I thank you were going to say stories about my mom. So thank you very much.
Wendy.
I loved this story because there was a clear beginning, middle, and end.
Wow. Exactly.
It was like you edited as you were speaking. It was beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you, Concierge Marie.
You're welcome. And as a concierge, I would like to say that was very courteous of you to offer her your coupon.
It was. She's a millionaire, but I figured 20% is 20%.
You're just being a nice person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Just because she's a millionaire doesn't mean she wants to spend more on paper towels.
How do you get to be a millionaire?
Saving money.
Use your coupon.
There you go, damn
That's
it.
That's insane. Danny Zucker.
Supported Jill Stein. Anyway, but the thing is, I'm not going to blame her for the fall of our democracy. I had a thing in Bed Bath & Beyond really quickly. I recently, 7 months ago, separated and terrible, and I had to go to Bed Bath & Beyond to furnish my sad apartment. And in the middle
of
Is
there
of,
a
like,
sad department section?
Yeah, there was.
For single guys?
The whole time I needed like a paper towel rack, and I couldn't find it, and I'm like overwhelmed with how shitty my life has become. And I start crying in Bed Bath & Beyond, and the woman at Bed Bath & Beyond goes, no, come here, I'll take you. And she took me around, and she's like, it's going to be okay, you know, you're going to work it out. And I said, is this the Beyond? Because it was like, she really... Help me out in Bed Bath & Beyond.
She went beyond.
Yeah.
And it was Susan Sarandon, ladies and gentlemen.
Sarandon.
That's what's amazing.
Frank Nicotero.
If you go back on Thursdays, they'll give you a bath.
Amazing. All right, you guys. Coming to the stage right now. What? Where did my... Oh, it's in my hand. Man, you know, I fell down the steps earlier.
No, I saw you. I didn't think she was going to be able to do the show. She said, I'm nauseous and
it was,
she's
yeah.
dizzy.
And I think I might have, like... I think I glitched. Do you know what I mean? I think I have to reset.
Yeah, for sure.
You're
I'm
going to
do that in just a second. All right, you guys, come on the stage right now. Check this out. In addition to having two names, this contestant holds a dual degree in both molecular and marine biology. What's all that
That's
about?
That's easy shit. Big deal.
He's performed at prestigious comedy festivals like TBS Just for Laughs, Chicago, Riot LA, Bumper Shoot, and the New York Fringe. His comedy album is called Scaredy Cat, and LA Weekly named him Comic to Watch. Welcome, Tony Sam. All right, you guys, tell him what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Oh, you're getting good at it. A nice spin.
No!
Drunk tank.
Drunk tank.
trying to pick which one. Oh, all right, all right, all right. Here we go. You ready? I don't think I'm allowed on the Cayman Islands anymore. I live there as a marine biologist. I'm smarter than most of you. I wasn't a big drinker, except I met this Canadian guy who I befriended, and Canadians can throw him back. And he's like, "Tonight, mate, I'm gonna get you fucked up." And I was like, "Okay, let's do it." So we went to this bar, and all we had were rum and cokes and cheese poofs for some reason. This bar just kept giving out free cheese poofs, and I love a good cheese poof. And so I ate all the cheese poofs and drank all the liquor. We had to go home. I got in a cab. I threw up all over the back of this cab, but it was like a minivan, and no one knew that I did it. I had thrown up all over myself, and I escaped to my apartment. Long story short, the entire island of cabs were looking for me that next day to find out who was the fucking guy who threw up in the back of that cab.
Tony Sam.
Wow.
Tony Sam. That's a drunk tank story for you, isn't it?
Yeah. Here. You know, in New Orleans, there are signs in all the cabs that actually say, if you puke, shit, or piss in this cab, you're charging you $250. So you got off cheap.
I mean, I didn't see
but
that.
But you can
sign,
bargain that down to about $120.
Yeah, I think so.
Danny?
No, you're funny. It was a story of the beginning, middle, and end. I like coming out and like saying that you're superior to the audience, which clearly you are.
I mean, you get it. He gets
yeah.
it.
Yeah,
no, he gets it.
No, it made me laugh. It was funny, and I can see why they said, "Hey, watch this guy," because you're definitely one to watch,
right? Yeah.
Wendy McClendon-Covey.
Well, again, you're not bragging. You're just telling the truth.
It's the truth.
It's the truth. Okay. What did I want to say about this? Mm. Canadians are responsible for a lot of bad behavior.
It's that Labatt's blue.
You always look to the Canadians.
More alcohol.
Someone's
they can
throwing
do it.
Up cheese poofs. There's a Canadian somewhere giggling right. in the bushes.
Is it the right. Molson?
Well, I think Molson makes Labatt's, right?
Is that right?
Yeah, well, there's more alcohol in their beer.
Okay.
For a reason.
All right, well, we're all learning here.
They're trouble.
Tony Sam, let him hear it, you guys. Tony
you.
Sam.
Thank you, Tony.
Plus, the color profile of puke and cheese poofs is like a Jackson Pollock.
It's
would actually
really,
be kind of
yeah.
cool to see.
I bet all right, you guys. Quite a number.
Yeah. Coming to the stage right now is our audience member. Our audience Ooh. Member, this is very exciting.
Is it
Jim Coughlin, go ahead, or Tom, go ahead and give Danny that jar. He's going to pick out the person who's playing the game tonight. We're going to give him a lot of love because this is not easy, guys. This is not easy. Give this person a lot of love. Playing the game tonight is...
Alex G.
Alex
oh
G.
Oh, my
Come
God. Alex.
All right. Big round of applause
oh
for
man,
Alex
man, right
G.
up front.
Tell him what to do.
Spin that wheel.
All right, Alex.
Yes. By the way, this is the easy part, so...
You spun it backwards.
They always do this, don't they, Danny?
Yeah, they, Yeah,
it's a rookie mistake. They spin it really hard.
No, they do. I gotta take points off. I'm sorry, Alex.
Oh, school days.
School days. Sorry, guys, this isn't my normal gig. although I'm Jewish, so that may put me ahead of others.
No Jews in comedy. Come on,
oh,
let's
shit.
Go.
Although I look like Al-Qaeda right now. Anyways, trying hard. So in college, I'll start with this one minute, right?
Yeah.
So in college, I decided to study abroad with one of my buddies. And we went to Egypt, and he was like, really, really, we got it. He was in Israel. We decided to go to Egypt. And there's these, like, little tents on the middle of the beach in the middle of nowhere. And there's, like, huts every, like, 20 feet or so. And they're, like, your source of sustenance for everything. And my friend happens to be a little bit of a pothead. He's like, dude, Sinai, we got to get us some weed. I was like, all right, we have nothing right now. We don't have food. We don't have water. But we got to get us some weed. All right. Cool. So we're like sitting in this middle of this hut. And all of a sudden, we're like, okay, we want some weed. Oh, I got 15 seconds left. Some little like 14-year-old kid comes up. He's like, I got you, man. I got you, man. I was like, fuck, you're 14. I don't know what to do. Starts smoking his weed. 10 seconds later, he comes in. We're like, no, no, no. We don't want hash. We want some weed. He brings in the biggest freaking branch of marijuana I've ever seen and scares the shit out of me because he's 14 and I'm 19 years old at the time. Anyways, that's my story. That's all I got.
Alex G. Let him hear it. Alex G.
Yeah.
Nice job. He did a great job. Came up out of the audience. He didn't know what was going on.
No, no. I got to say, I did not have high hopes.
You said it.
And I think the whole audience was with me on this. You walked up here. You were kind of hesitant. You didn't, you know, it took 30 seconds to spin the wheel and then spun it too hard.
Way too hard. And then, rotating the wrong direction.
And then
you should tell your story back to front instead of front to
back.
Yeah,
and then was a lot of riff. Oh, so what are we going to talk about? I mean, it was like a lot of stuff. So I was like, fuck, this is going to be a long goddamn minute.
Yeah.
And then it was a beginning, middle, and end. You did, like, well, Wendy said, you did great.
Yeah.
Yeah, you absolutely did.
Okay, Wendy?
You bought drugs from a minor in a foreign country.
What could go wrong?
As a Jew. Yeah.
And
in Egypt.
Just how did that work out?
I mean, I was scared the whole time. Uh-huh. And actually, on the way back, one of my buddies, this is the end actually of the story, forgot that he had all this. It was like a pound of marijuana. There was like rolling like cigars and all that. He forgot that he had it with him.
Yes.
And he smuggled the rest of that marijuana into Israel without knowing. He gets home. His mom opens up his bag. Didn't go well. Didn't go well for him.
Wow. But you mostly got away with it. That his mom got upset.
Yeah.
But, okay.
She all probably stole it for herself.
The authorities didn't.
No.
Mark DiCarlo. Right.
Is Jewish weed any good? Does it just make you feel more guilty than you would normally? How is it different? I don't understand.
Alex G.
The tip is cut off.
Let us hear it, you guys. Alex G.
Alex G. Alex G.
All right, you guys. Coming to the stage right now for the last true one-minute story of the night. This is the person who won last month's Story Smash, so we're super happy to have her back. She's a comedian and a writer and an actress, and you've seen her on Days of Our Lives and Pretty Little Liars. Plus, she hosts a show called the Trailer Trash Talent Review, which is a variety show held in a real trailer park in Van Nuys, California. Put your hands together for Dawn Brody!
Too, I want to go to that.
All right, you guys, tell her what to do. All right. Holidays.
Okay. All right. Holidays. I was born on Pearl Harbor Day. Thank you.
You do not look that old.
No,
congrats.
Thank you. Listen, coconut water and glycerin oil, all right? That's all you need. 1978, still look pretty good, though. But the reason I was born on a holiday is because in 1978, in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, the centermost point state of Wisconsin, hot dog, you were going to get a C-section, because that's how it worked. And so Lana Adams from Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, was laying on the bed there, and they said, well, you're going to have a baby in this week here. Right? And they pointed at the calendar hanging on the wall, and she saw that one of those dates had red lettering on it, which we all know from the calendars you get free from the bank, that means it's a holiday. And so she went, well, take the holiday. So they circled it, and that's the day I was born. And it is a day, I can say, and so can my dad, that will live in infamy.
Yay! Dawn Brody! Great story. Perfect story. Mark DiCarlo.
The jokes just write themselves for this birthday.
Yeah.
None of which I should probably say out loud, so I'm just going to pass. I thought it had beginning, middle, and end. It's a common thing that we all understand, Pearl Harbor Day, so you drew us in there. And everyone survived, so it's not like the real Pearl Harbor Day, so it's a happy thing.
Really,
well done.
Thank you.
Danny?
I was riveted all the way through. Lost a lot of good people on... Pearl Harbor Day, and no, it was great. My son was almost born. It's not even a great story. Almost born on Pearl Harbor Day, just missed it. December 7th.
Nobody's perfect.
But I was hoping it would be Pearl Harbor Day because my wife's birthday is 9/11, so it would have been a whole thing.
Like, yeah.
What's worse? But I never really got that. So yeah.
Wendy,
delightful. And did your mom ever toy with the idea of naming you Pearl?
Oh, wouldn't that have been clever?
No. I know that Emma was in the works, and then my dad said that sounded old.
Okay.
So it was axed.
All right, you guys. Dawn Brody, let her hear it. Okay.
Okay.
So that was round one. Mark your score sheets.
I have them.
We've got all five names right here back in the jar, and we're going to pull one out right now. This person's coming up to tell a true two-minute story, and it's the one and only Trisha Marsack. Trisha! I think she was first last time. All right, you guys, tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel. Hey, you were first last time.
Yeah. Nice spin. Mom.
Everybody else took the mic off, so I feel like I should.
Yeah, do it. Thing?
All right. And I wore my Stormtrooper boot. So, all right. So my mom. Okay, so my mom was a little bit naive, and like when I went to college, we didn't really talk about sex that much. And I was like a really good girl in high school, so it didn't matter. But she was like, I don't know if I should like buy you a box of condoms and say good luck or what. And I was like, I'm good, Mom. Like, I'm not doing that. Like, blah. Like, why are you talking about condoms all of a sudden? So anyways, it was our friend's birthday, our good neighbor friend's birthday. And we're from the Midwest. We're from Michigan. And so my mom would, like, get the card and make the cake and make the big dinner and all the stuff. And our neighbor Mike opened the card. I was probably 19. And he opened it up, and it was like, happy birthday. I hope on your birthday you get a lot of TNA. And on the inside it said TATATATATATATA. And we were just like, everybody was just very quiet as he read the card out loud. And my mom was like, do you get it? Ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. And we were like, oh my God. Like, that means tits and ass, Mom. Like, I know that. And I'm like, not an adult really at this point. Like, oh my God. So she gave this to our neighbor and we all forgave her. Like, they were like really embarrassed for her, but then it was like, okay, like, it's Sue, like, she's very naive, like, it's a cool, she thought it meant ta 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 ta, which I don't know what the fuck that means either. But so then anyways, she also, I like forgot what I was gonna say, she was very embarrassed and like kept trying to explain it away because she thought, you know, like it just meant a fun time and like very happiness and like jolliness and like she just wanted to wish well on these people. And then it turned out that when they first met her, she had a limp, which I'm also injured. They thought she was like a raging alcoholic because they walked in to say hello and meet her the first time as we were new neighbors, and she had a glass of wine and she walked across the...
You know. Trisha Marsack. All right, Danny.
Woo.
Here's the thing, Trisha. So, like, story-wise, I thought it was a bold choice to sort of not completely have a point to it.
Thank you.
That's the negative part.
It's a risk I was willing to
the
take.
The positive part is I feel like I could listen to you talk forever. Like, I just wanted, it didn't matter, it was just sort of a rambling thing, but I was happy all the way through. I feel like I know your mom, you're from a world I don't know. It was just great. So, I like you.
You're Mark DiCarlo.
Yeah, it was the best 17-minute story I've ever heard. It just
limit,
flowed.
Right? Yeah.
It just flowed.
That's my goal.
It kind of sounded to me like your mom was trying to pull a Mrs. Robinson on this guy.
Maybe.
Is that possible?
Maybe.
Ooh.
I don't know. She was a little naive. I don't know.
Ooh. Wendy.
As someone who also has a naive mother who doesn't understand things like ta-ta, 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 ta-ta. I got stress hives almost just listening to that story.
So
just
embarrassing.
Having to constantly explain to an adult woman okay, Mom.
This is what sucks what? Is.
Yeah, yeah. This,
this is how you made me.
This is how I plan on doing it. No, but and I also liked the way the breaking glass sound came as you were describing your mom hobbling
the walking.
With a glass of wine.
It's like you
that
planned
was perfect.
It.
Perfect.
Trisha Marsak, let her hear it, you guys. That was a great story. Wow, we've got a great game going on here tonight. Yeah. Coming right now for a true two-minute story is our audience member, Alex G. Give it up for Alex. Come on, Alex. Tell them what to do, you guys.
Spin that wheel.
Oh, he took the note. He took the note.
Quick right. study.
Nice going.
Audience?
All right.
Audience for the audience.
He landed on audience, and that means we're going to take some audience suggestions. You guys over here, what do you guys want to hear at the bar?
Another smuggling story.
Another smuggling story. Anything in here?
Sex.
Sex?
Bathroom.
Bands. Bathroom, bands.
Bad day. Bar mitzvah.
Bad day, bar mitzvah. Grocery store. Being Jewish.
I mean, you're an audience. Which of those did you? Your bad date, he likes.
Okay, bad so day.
We're going to go with bar mitzvah. No, I'm kidding. Right. Go do
bad date. Bad day or bad date?
Bad date. Bad date.
Bad date. All right. When you're ready.
So New Year's, few years back, way before I was married, we decided to go to Disneyland. Me and the girlfriend that I was dating at the time decided to go to Disneyland. And bad decision. We took a bottle of vodka with us to Disneyland. I guess there's a lot of substance in my...
It's the drunkest place on earth.
Yeah, pretty much. So we're drinking. We had shared a locker. We had driven there, but we decided one of us would sober up. Relationship didn't go so well. We got into a fight. She took the keys and bolted. All I had with me was my cell phone and $2 in my pocket. I'm stuck in Disneyland. I live in San Fernando Valley at the time. I had no idea what to do. I try and get on the bus. Okay, we got to speed this up. I get on the bus. And buses happen to be free on New Year's. Get into the middle of downtown LA. The bus driver on the way was like, "Happy New Year's, y'all." Get my New Year's in, and I'm in the middle of downtown LA with nothing. No one knows where the fuck I am. And anyways, I made friends with a homeless guy named Cameron. And Cameron made a New Year's resolution that he wasn't going to smoke any crack anymore, but he was going to help me that night. Me and Cameron are walking down the street, middle of downtown LA. I'm a, you know, pretty privileged kid at that time, had no idea what I was doing. He's like, "Don't walk down 6th Street." I was like, "All right." Anyways, Cameron and I make it down the street. I have $2 left to my name, and I was like, "Listen, man, my cell phone's dead. I need to make a phone call to, like, someone." He's like, "I got you, man. I got you." He takes off his shoes, takes off his sock. Between his toes, he has 2 quarters. Takes out the 2 quarters. Oh. "This is for you, my friend. I
but
gave
you
him my $2 for 50 cents, right? So I can make a phone call." As I make a phone call, I try 3 numbers. Change comes back. Nobody picks up the phone. Nobody picks up the phone. I'm like, "Fuck, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do?" I'm like, "Okay, I got to do it." I call my parents, and I'm like, "Listen, I'm stuck in the middle of nowhere. I need to, you know, please help me. Come get me out." Cameron starts smoking his crack, and my parents come pick me up from the middle of downtown LA.
All right, Alex G. All right, now he went way over.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
Sorry.
Sometimes it happens. 2:19, you know, take it into account.
That's a fucking disaster, though. I mean, 19 seconds.
Danny Zucker, what'd you think?
No, it was great. A happy ending for everybody. He got his crack. You got a...
got home.
That's what I like. It's just like a real... I got to say, this is a hard thing to do. Truly, I'm going to just say this. That I was really riveted to that story.
Yeah,
I think we
definitely.
All
thank you.
It was a real
you
Disney
started
story.
Started in Disneyland. And you met it your own Jiminy
ending.
Cricket. In downtown L.A.
She's so emotional tonight.
From Disneyland to toe change.
My 30 years in Hollywood.
Yeah. What a story.
You know what? Was Cameron real?
Oh,
now,
this
now
is
that...
all actually real,
really? Real. One last question.
Maybe
happened.
It was your spirit guide. Maybe he disappeared into thin air once your parents showed up.
Is this your wife?
That's Cameron. That's Cameron. Oh!
Anything else, Mark?
What did the change smell like? And did you touch it? He took it from between his toes. I touched it.
I touched it.
Wow.
Yeah, you have to, because he's doing something nice for you. You can't look a gift toe in the mouth. You actually have to
use it.
Put the
money back between his toes.
Yeah.
Alex G, let him hear it, you guys. Alex G.
This is faith in human nature.
Oh, that's so sweet. All right, you guys, come to the stage right now for a
Twice off our second up to the judge there.
For a true two-minute story is the one and only Frank Nicotero. All right, you guys, tell him what to do.
All right, spin that wheel. Oh,
there
yeah.
he goes.
Softly. All right, 2 minutes. That was a very funny story. Very good, very funny. I remember borrowing the quarters from you. I remember that. What does free mean?
He landed on free.
What does that mean?
So you can choose any topic that's on the wheel and tell
us
what
it is. Oh, I can?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, shit. What do you think? Drunk tank? How about drunk? Drunk?
Yes, drunk tank.
We'll go drunk tank. Drunk tank and start it. Okay. How many people took an Uber here tonight? Anyone take an Uber? Good. You, good. Thank God. I was between the drugs and alcohol and the homeless people and the crack and the two quarters. Thank God. If you were driving, I was going to give you a head start. All right, so anyway, I've never been in a drunk tank, but this is the closest I ever came to being in a drunk tank. I was at a holiday party right around this area last year, and I got hammered. I was like blackout drunk, and I was wearing a T-shirt that had a candy cane on it, and it said, "It's not going to lick itself," all right? So I just want to give you that image of the kind of Christmas party I was at. So I call an Uber. Now, as I call the Uber, my phone, I have an iPhone, dies. So I go outside to get in the Uber. Now, two of the guys who are at the party see me, and they see me drop the phone into the gutter, and it's dead, and they run over to help me in, and they put me in the Uber, okay? So I'm in the Uber, ladies and gentlemen, and I pass out. Now, this is the closest I've ever come to a drunk tank. I wake up later. I passed out. I wake up later, and two cops with flashlights are screaming at me, "Sir, what is your name? What is your address? What is your name? What is your address?" I look up from the back of the Uber. I'm at the departure gates at LAX. I go, "What the hell is going on here?" Now, you got to remember, I'm wearing the "It Won't Lick Itself" T-shirts. I'm hammered. I have no phone. And the Uber driver's like, I do. He's like this. And the cop's like, "What's your..." So I say my address. I'm like, 4339 Beckman. I actually gave out my real address. But anyway, this is how close I came to the drunk tank. So the next day I get in touch with the Uber driver. And I'm like, "Wait a second." I'm like, "Why did you take me to LAX?" And the guy on the phone that I borrowed from my girlfriend to call him, he goes, "Well, you said you wanted to go home. You wanted to go home." And I said, "Yeah, I live in Studio City." He goes, "You said you were from Pittsburgh, so I took you to the airport." And I'm like, "Wait a second. We were in Hollywood. You took me to LAX, you asshole. You could have taken me to Burbank. That was way closer." There you go. Avoid the drunk tank. 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Exactly 2 minutes. An amazing story.
True story.
Danny Zucker.
Imagine the shirt.
I mean, the word tour de force gets thrown around a lot. Yeah. But if you're not going to use it for that story, then what the fuck is it for?
I don't know.
That use was a genius goddamn
story.
Oh,
thank you. Thank you very
much.
Wendy
McGlendon Covey.
Write that script. The world needs it.
Good job.
Yeah, that's a time capsule story. I would freeze that in amber and just save it. It had a beginning, middle, and end. There was hijinks. There was drama. There was Pittsburgh. Everything you want in a story.
Everything in there.
In that story. Good job, Frank. All right,
thank you, guys. Thanks,
Frank
everybody.
Frank Nicotero, let him hear it. All right.
Also, some solid crowd work up front. I know. It was like I was like very impressed with that.
Yeah, that was good. All right, you guys, come to the stage right now for a true two-minute story is the one and only Tony Sam. Here he comes, guys. Tell him what to do.
Spin that wheel.
All right, that was excellent. All right. He has landed on audience. Once again, this is my favorite part of the show. What stories would you guys like to hear over here? Sex toys.
Marine biology.
Marine biology. Sharks. Things in the water.
Marine biology.
What's that?
Red light tickets.
Things that float. This is not password. They think it's 10,000.
Things a fish would say.
Pyramid. What else? Give me three more.
Greg Brady.
Greg Brady. Mom. No, we already did that. What else? Dentist.
Exams.
Losing virginity. Exams. Losing virginity. Now it's exciting.
Well, look, he says he's such a smart. Exams or dentist? What do you think?
Tell us a Mensa story. Mr. Smarty Pants.
Yeah.
Just recite pi out as many decibels as you can.
What's it going to be?
Give me the cherry. Copenhagen interpretation of quantum mechanics. Exams.
Exams.
You took all
he's
these
got
tests
one
to see
for that.
For real.
All right, Tony, whenever you're ready.
All right. You know, you can start it. When I said I was really smart, I may have misrepresented myself. It turns out I'm a terrible fucking scientist. And that's the god-awful truth. I may be published in Nature Medicine, which is a big fucking deal.
That is a huge deal.
Thank you so much for reinforcing what I said. It's a big deal.
If you're into nature.
Yeah, I mean, if you love prestigious journals. Turns out I would hide most of the time. I was good at hiding. I found out I was good at hiding when I worked in the laboratory because I would just take really long bathroom breaks just to write jokes. And that's the truth. But we're talking exams. This is the story. So I'm in college, and I'm in a physics final, and I just physics I couldn't get. I didn't get physics. Physics is hard. So I had the secret to passing physics finals I found was get a big ass graphing calculator. Like it looks like a mini computer, and then you rub an eraser on the back of that thing so it makes the surface of that calculator a writable surface. And then you write every single formula you can think of to fit on the back of that calculator, and you ace the fucking final.
Wow.
You set the bell curve. Maybe I'm a cheater. Maybe I improvised. I had to pass that class. That's the story. So
all right, Tony Sam. 10 seconds to spare, but he got it all in.
I got to just call him on plagiarism just a little bit because I read Stephen Hawking's biography and the exact same thing happened. Yes. No, that's a good story. Good on your feet. You know, you're a cheater, but you're still. That was a smart thing to.
Yeah. I'm a survivor. I like.
Oh, you think, really are.
Yeah, Wendy.
That's how I feel about it. You just have to get through it.
Yeah.
You just have to get through it. And a D is a passing grade, everybody.
I don't use physics.
A D is a
for anything.
No one uses it.
No.
No one uses it.
I
no one uses algebra.
Right? We all use physics every day. We're just not aware of it.
Are we thinking
about
it, though?
I just use physics.
Burn him! He's a witch!
That was it!
He's a witch!
Mark DiCarlo.
Well, it's cheating is like that's the new American thing now because you can cheat and get away with it if you're fucking
it's
orange president.
Now.
So yeah, you were on the leading edge of that.
It's acceptable.
And I like the way we've swung in just 20 minutes from self-proclaimed genius to physics cheat.
Hey, I aced a physics final.
No, I think that
I
that
figured out how
honesty
to do it.
And that that transparency is funny. It's good.
For
you
sure.
You did a great job.
I let it all out.
And it's not like cheating on a medical exam where if you fuck up, someone dies. Yes. What's the worst thing that happens if you screw up as a physicist?
Did you ever use those degrees?
Well, sure. I wrote a paper. I was in Nature Medicine.
Did you make money?
No, it turns out comedy pays better than science.
Oh, my God. How bad does science pay?
Pretty shitty.
Oh, wow.
Pretty terrible.
No, they always say if you're going to go into science, have a backup career in show business, just in case.
Who knew?
Tony Sam. Let him hear it. Tony Sam.
Good job, Tony.
Great story. Super funny. All right, you guys. Coming up right now for a two-minute story. There's only one person left in the can, and that is the one and only Dawn Brody. Here she comes, guys. Tell her what to do. Nice spin. Oh boy, here we go. She's landed on audience. Ladies and gentlemen, there are only three spaces that say audience, so this isn't rigged.
Weird.
Yeah, this is weird. What do you guys want to hear Don Brody talk about over here?
Trailers.
Van Nuys. Wisconsin.
First tattoo.
Feminism. Those are a lot of choices.
First tattoo. You got to have a good story for your first tattoo, right?
First tattoo. Let her hear it, you guys.
That's a good choice, Mark.
I do. The first tattoo is this frog on top of my left foot. I was 17 years old, which is 1 year younger than the legal age to get a tattoo. And the way I got it is I asked my older sister, Anne, who looks remarkably like me, can I have your driver's license? And she said, no. So I stole it. And then I made an appointment on the same day as my SATs. And I thought, no test can take more than an hour. So I made the appointment for noon. And I get there, and they said, this test takes 2 hours, and you can't leave early. And I thought, fuck. But I took the test. I finished in an hour. And I walked up, and I gave it to her. And she said, you can't be done now. And I went, I know, but I have an appointment. And I left. And I went to the tattoo parlor, and I got my tattoo. And then, and this was also very orchestrated because I knew I'd have to wear a bandage and it was summer, it was going to be a thing. I happened to be driving that very day to my job counseling a Christian summer camp in Minocqua, Wisconsin, which meant nobody from Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin was going to see that tattoo until well after it was healed, and Jesus doesn't judge, at least not Minocqua. Other places in Wisconsin, I can't actually speak to that. And the tattoo looked great. I did call mom from camp, and I said, heads up, nothing you can do about this now. I got a tattoo right before I left town. And I also own my own car, and so I could hang it out the window while it healed, and it dried up real nice, and it looks good. And she said, oh, my God, but wasn't that was the day you had your SAT? What did you do? And I said, don't worry. I took the test, and I finished it, and I got a 26, which got my ass into the University of Minnesota, and I didn't even have to retake the test.
Don Brody, great story, right on time.
Wow.
Yeah, Mark DiCarlo.
Timely, you landed the plane right at 2 minutes. You took us on a journey through the woods, through a class taking a test, the tattoo thing. I feel energized. I feel like I'm in a Christian meeting. You just healed me. Jesus just healed me. Thank you.
Wendy.
You are a lady who gets things done. You multitask. You set a goal. You reached it. And all this hubbub over that little frog tattoo. A timeless classic that looks good on a lady's foot for decades.
That's right. Danny?
I mean, was this the college essay that got you into University of Wisconsin? Because you're so resourceful. I feel like you could have gotten into, like, not a party school. I feel like you could have done really well. So that's, yeah.
Why a frog, though? You left that out. Why that image?
Well, because a lot of my people, which is trash from central Wisconsin, choose as their first tattoo a delicate butterfly on their shoulder. Because if pressed, they would say it goes transformation from a worm to a beautiful butterfly. And I like the idea of transformation, but it wasn't about, okay, buckle up. It wasn't about being beautiful at the end. It was just about the change. So frogs, like butterflies, also change, but their end destination is not necessarily beauty.
God. That is deep. Don Brody, let her hear it. Don Brody. Wow. That was super exciting.
Also, worms don't turn into butterflies. You should talk to the biologist back there. But it's still fine. I know what you mean.
All right, you guys, this is the exciting part of the game. You guys are going to take these five names and give me back two of them, and those two people are going on to the third and final round and telling a true three-minute story. We're very excited about that. But in the meantime, give it up for Rick in the back on the sound. Thanks, Rick. There he is. Julie at the bar. Thank you, Julie. Tom and Jim Coughlin right here helping me out. And Lindsay at the box office. Lindsay's right out there. She will sell you a ticket to the very next Story Smash, which is going to be on Saturday, December 28th. So get those tickets now because this is sold out. Did you know that? You're in a sold-out audience. Thank you for coming. Give it up for yourselves. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. Oh, we already have two names. I'm going to put those two names right here back in the jar. And these folks are coming up for a true three-minute story. Wendy, what would you like to tell? A one, two, or three-minute story, if it were up to you.
I would like to tell a story about a true story about how my sister grew a tail, and I thought it was my fault.
Wow.
But it wasn't.
We have to hear this.
You don't want to hear it now.
We do.
No,
we do.
You don't.
Come on, give it up for her. Come on, you guys. Yeah,
your
we do.
Your sister grew it?
Grew what looked like a tail. Now, I'm going to tell you something about your bodies, all right? Anyone ever heard of a pollinital cyst?
Right here in the front.
Okay.
Alex G., I'm not surprised.
Guess what? We probably all have one, but you just don't know it. And it's at the base of your tailbone, and if it gets ruptured, it is ugly. That is what happened to my sister because I pulled her off the couch because it was my turn to lay on the couch, but she was there, and I had to pull her off.
Yeah.
She landed on her tailbone.
Oh.
Cut to a couple weeks later, she's in the bathroom whimpering, and I pushed the door open, and God help me, she had a little thing on her tailbone.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my God, I got my penance because once she got that thing hacked off.
Oh my God.
I was the one that had to like make it okay and like fix it during the day. We were in junior high school.
Change the dressing.
I had to change the dressing, do all this stuff. I didn't find out till 10 years ago that I was not responsible for that. She had been sliding on a slip and slide.
Oh.
And I carried that guilt with me.
Yeah. She's terrible.
For 30 years.
Do you still carry the little tail as well?
No. No. Talk about something that should be saved in amber.
Yeah.
Anyway, the human body is disgusting, and that is all I want to leave you with.
Wow.
Amazing. All right, you guys. Coming up right now for a true three-minute story is Dawn Brody. Come on up, Dawn. All right, you guys. Tell her what to do. I don't even need the sign anymore. School days. School days.
All right.
Oh, we just went to food.
What do I do?
What does she do, Danny? Danny, what does she do?
What would you rather do?
I bet you for the cookies I can combine the two.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. What is she saying?
We got cookies on the line. All right, school days and food. So I am currently in the process of applying to get my master's degree in American history. Thank you. And so this is a bit of a meat grinder that we're going through at the moment for me in these impeachment hearings. Every time some cunt says George Washington's name, I want to rip their throat out. But it is in part because I'm a big fan of the founding fathers and George Washington in particular. I have a 1-year-old daughter whose name is Beatrice Washington Melby. Yeah. And so I really, really give a shit about this. And one of the reasons why I love George Washington is because of this particular moment. So do you guys remember during the hearing, Colonel Vindman, said to Mr. Vindman, and he said, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman.
Yeah.
Okay, it was kind of a big moment. So it reminded me of one of my favorite moments George Washington had. By the way, George Washington's really tall and he looks amazing in blue. But he, very eloquent, very fair, and all the largest Navy ever assembled on planet Earth, the British Navy, is in New York Harbor with every gun they got pointed at us. We have a rabble army. We don't know how many guys we got. We know how many guns we got. We're F.U. cucked. And so General Howe and the British in general think this is going to go the way it always has, which is they go to the generals, the people in power, and say, what do you want? You want land? You want money? You want a title, and then you surrender, and then we move on with this, right? So they send such a thing kind of at this moment of high peak where it doesn't look like we can win to George Washington, and the letter says, written on the outside, Mr. Washington. And stakes are high. Everyone could die. Odds are against us. And the letter comes, and Washington looks at it and says to the guy, that's not addressed to me. Send it back. I know. So the guy goes back to General Howe with the letter and is like, hi, I don't know. It was him, but he said it wasn't for him. And he said it was the wrong name. I don't know. And he was like, oh, try again. So he writes, Washington, etc. on the outside. And he takes it back, and the guy gives it to Washington, and Washington looks at it, and he says, and he goes, yeah, but he said, et cetera means everything. So, and Washington says, yes, et cetera means everything. It also means anything. My name is General George Washington, and that letter's not addressed to me. I know. So, I know. So they go back. So messenger goes back to General Howe and is like, oh my God, right? The ball's on this guy. And he says, send it back. So he takes it back. And this time he meets General Washington at dinner. Okay. And General Washington is eating and he's sitting there and the messenger's sitting there like nervous with the letter. And he says, please open it. And Washington says, what is it? What is it? And he says, it's a pardon. And Washington says, men who have committed no fault need no pardon.
Yes!
Don Brody, wow.
Okay. Holy shit. I am so hard. I am.
Prove it. No.
I'm just kidding. I can't get an erection. But, fuck Lin-Manuel, because that should have made it into that fucking musical.
I watched for it.
Yeah. That was genius. I feel like that moment in Rocket Man when he plays Crocodile Rock at the Troubadour. We just saw that right here.
Wendy McClendon Covey.
I was riveted. I learned stuff tonight that I did not know.
Me either.
You worked in food and you came in exactly when you were supposed to. You lady have got something.
Mark DiCarlo.
Brilliant story. You built it like a beautiful thing that gets built.
Excellent.
And, you know, the sad part is we have no way to remember Washington. We haven't memorialized him in any way in our culture, which is sad. But great story. Makes you proud to be an American, unlike watching television these days. Thank you for sharing that with us. And fuck the British. We can say that now, right?
Yeah.
Fuck the British.
You can say that. Don Brody, let her hear it. Don
A
Brody.
Disorganized rabble.
Amazing.
Wow.
Yeah, that was an amazing story.
I would hate to follow that. I don't even know how I would do it.
And she was right. The winner tonight is going to win these chocolate chip cookies. Yeah. So this is on the line. There's
and that
no
happened
doubt about
at
it.
The George Washington Bridge, if I am not mistaken. Right? Isn't that why?
Coming to the stage right now is our final storyteller of the night. It's a true 3-minute story told by Frank Nicotero. All right, you guys, tell him what to do.
Spin that wheel.
He's ready.
Hope I can tell my Abraham Lincoln story. All right, here we go. He's fucking hot, right, ladies? Huh? He's tall. I heard the gay rumors. He can take care of the whole room. All right, here we go. You never know. He's got Honest Abe. He has the big hat. What the shit? I've had audience free and audience.
He landed on audience again.
George Danny, Washington.
Danny, now he just... should he spin again?
I am
again?
Not throwing away my shot.
I think he should spin again. This is for all the cookies.
Spin again? Because he already hit that. He hit audience before, so spin it again.
All right. Yeah. By the way, I'm on keto, so I don't know if I can even eat the cookies. How about that shit?
Wow.
Everyone hates me. All right, great. So, I'm not a vegan. Okay. It's even worse. All right, watch this. Audience again.
No.
Drunk tank. No. Hooking up. There we go. All right.
Hooking up.
Shit. All right, hooking up, 3 minutes. Good. I remember I saw this girl in a bar and I stared at her for like a minute. She was so hot, right? So I just have to let your beauty soak in for like at least another 42 seconds. She kind of had a white wig, kind of looked like George Washington. All right, anyway. I met this girl, and this is the last time I hooked up with a girl before I got with my girlfriend. And I was younger, and she was younger, and she was under 21. She was 20. I was about 25 years old. And we were doing okay, and we went to a bar. And she started getting a little drunk. It was karaoke. We're singing karaoke. And you know how that goes. And I'm going to sing about a minute from the song I sang. No. So Thank you. So we hook up and we get into a fight. All right, the karaoke song, I don't know. We were doing "Don't Go Breaking My Heart." Ironically enough, I was doing the Elton part, Rocket Man. Remember that for the judging. Okay, and do you want me to sing a little? She packed my bags last night. Okay, so we hooked up a lot, and we were dating, but we really weren't dating. So we get to this bar that night. It's karaoke night, and she kind of picks a fight with me. Now, the other people in the bar kind of see that we're fighting, all right? And there's guys in the bar, and she's a very cute girl, and they start, like, you know, kind of hitting on her, and I'm kind of like, look, what are you doing? Like, come on, you came with me. And she's like, shut up, Frank, right? So she really was, no, shut up. Walk over there for at least a minute. So I sat in the corner. So I walk over there. Now the guys are kind of giving me the shit, and she's starting to get drunk or she's doing shots. You got to remember, she's underage, so she can't handle her liquor. So I go over and I try to, like, get her out of there. I'm like, look, let's go. Come on. We've been here for, like a couple hours. You're getting really drunk. Let's go. She's like, I'm not going. And she did that. She, like, threw her arm like that and hit me, and everyone turned and kind of thought we were having, like, an altercation. And I'm like, no, and everything. And then two of the big guys stand up and come walking over. They're like, all right, buddy. And I'm like, hey, pal, don't mess with me. I used to be a bouncer, all right? So at Chuck E. Cheese. All right, so anyway, they kick me out. They kick me out. And I said, all right, well, she has to come with me. And they said, no, she's staying here. We're going to take care of her tonight. I'm like, no, come on, that's bullshit. And I'm like, just she should come with me. I brought her. And they're like, no, get out of here. So I walk out, all right? But I have to come back to sign for my credit card because I figure they're like, get the hell out of here. And I'm like, let me just sign and pay for my drinks. So I sign and pay for my drinks, all right? And I said, look, guys, I'm sorry this went down. I'm sorry, this girl and I, we've been going out for a while. This is obviously the end. This is why you shouldn't meet girls in a bar, because I had met her in that bar, because she was a regular at that bar. And I went, all right, I'm out, all right? And I said to the bartender, Mark, I'm sorry this happened. By the way, Mark, she's only 20 years old. And I walked out of the bar, and she kicked open the door as I was in the parking lot. She's like, fuck you, Frank! And I'm like, I don't even like chocolate chip cookies.
Frank Nicotero, amazing! What a great story. Funny stuff.
All right.
Danny Zucker.
Yeah, you're funny. I mean, the story was shit, but you are so goddamn funny. You, like, every element of it was great. I mean, except obviously for the narrative, but...
The thing is I've never really hooked up before. Yeah, you get a drug guy. Yeah, all right, okay. All right.
And crowd work.
Wendy,
were you wearing your It's Not Gonna Lick Itself
shirt? It was before the really clever t-shirts.
I feel like that would have, like, probably helped the situation.
Actually, you know what I remember? I had a Hall & Oates shirt on. I don't know if that adds anything to the story. Yeah.
In a way worse.
I know.
Mark DiCarlo.
It was like a symphony. It was like Beethoven's Ninth. You tied in the timing aspect. In the dating, the tension of bringing a 20-year-old girl into a bar and almost getting beat up. I was on the edge of my seat. Yeah. And I thought it was very funny, and that was spectacular.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, everyone.
Frank Nicotero, let him hear it. All right, you guys, this is the very exciting part of the show where our judges are going to choose one person who's going to be the winner of Story Smash, and that person is welcome to come back next month on December 28th and play this game again. And you guys are also invited to come on back. Tickets are already on sale. Lindsay in the front will be happy to sell you one. Another big round of applause for Rick in the back. Thank you, Rick. It takes a lot of people to make this happen. Thank you, Tom Alper. Thank you, Jim Coughlin. Thank you, Julie, at the bar. I appreciate it. And I think you guys were already ready. Now, was it a hard decision?
It was actually the hardest decision I've ever had to make.
Come on.
Yeah. No, I had to, my dad was on life support, and it was like, do I pull him off? And it was like, we struggled with it for a week.
Yeah.
This was 10 times harder.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. Mark, was it hard?
Yes. Yes, it was very difficult because comedy is so subjective.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
But I guess we know more than the room.
Wendy, was it an okay decision for you? Was it difficult? Is this a difficult question?
I'm still... after you announce the winner, I might say, I don't know.
In that case, you announce the winner.
Yeah. Oh,
the winner tonight of Story Smash.
Because
in November,
you fought for this.
Yeah, we didn't. Yeah. This is all Wendy's idea.
Don Brody!
Don Brody, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Don Brody. Come on up here. Danny Super, Wendy McClendon Covey, Mark DiCarlo, Don Brody, Frank Nicotero, Tony Sam, Trisha Marsack, and Alex G right here. My name's Christine Blackburn. Good night.